Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, we had a little bit of news today. Looks like Oregon State and Washington State are locking down the details. I am told they're negotiating things like the number of media credentials that the production staff of the CW and Fox will get when they are producing Oregon State and Washington State's football games next season. I want to know more about that, like the 11th hour of the negotiation, the nitpicky stuff. So I also want to know what's going on with the NBA, the framework of this NBA TV deal that's been put out, the college football playoff TV deal. How about the scenarios that people have floated about, you know, putting 70 or 80 of the top teams in college football in a division and then trying to sell the media rights for that? Would it work? Well, there's nobody better to have on the subject than Bob Thompson. He is the retired president of Fox Sports Networks. He is the co-founder of the Big Ten Network. He is a consultant now. He grew up watching sports on TV. As a kid, he did it. Then he turned it into a job. Bob Thompson joining us now. How did you do that? As a kid, you knew that you loved sports and you loved TV. And look at you. You made a job out of it.
My mom said, "It's the only thing you do good. You better go ahead and work in that line of work."
You have the one set of parents that went, "Of course, it makes total sense."
Yes, plastics. No. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. Good to hear your voice, my friend. I grew up watching Mel Allen on Saturdays. I think it was watching the game of the week and baseball and. I grew up, you know, we had an antenna. I had to climb on the roof and adjust the antenna so the football games came in clearly. What did you grow up watching when you were a kid?
You know, certainly from an NFL standpoint, growing up in the Northwest, there were no teams. So, you know, I kind of gravitated towards San Francisco for not only football, but for baseball as well. I was a big Giants fan. And, then, you know, and the Trailblazers came in when I was in, I guess, grade school. So I, you know, certainly followed them throughout the years as well. And then obviously, you know, being a University of Oregon grad, I followed them as most of my family all went there. So we kind of had the green and yellow in our blood from day one.
You have done a number of media rights deals, including the last deal with the Pac-12 Conference. It looks to me, I am hearing that they are very close they're working out the final touches of the deal for Oregon State and Washington State. 13 combined home football games. 10 of them will go to the CW. 3 will go to Fox. Before we get into whether or not that's good or what you make of all that, but can you take us through kind of the 11th hour of a deal? Because I am told that they are down to, like, how many credentials does the CW get? And how long does all that stuff take to iron out?
It shouldn't take that long. I mean, again, because it's a new deal and a partner and they've never worked with before, they're, you know, in the CW, certainly there's probably a lot more to the, you know, the last few issues, because they just haven't had one before. You know, with Fox, it's probably a lot easier. This one might be a little different too, because if the Pac-12 Network's production staff is going to produce, that makes it somewhat easier for everybody. I'd be interested to see if they're going to do that for the Fox games as well, because usually Fox prefers their own production. But as far as the media credentials, you know, CW is going to have a few people on site to help integrate it into the network feed. They've done a lot. I mean, they did it with they do it with Live Golf. They do it with the Raycom package on the ACC. They don't produce anything of their own per se. They have third parties produced, and so it still requires some CW folks to be in attendance. And then there's always the infamous, you know, how many tickets are we going to get? You know, because they're going to want to take advertisers and spit some of their advertisers with tickets and things like that. So this is just once you get the money figured out and who's going to produce and all that type of stuff. these are kind of the crossing the T's and dotting the I's that get done at the end. But it shouldn't be a holdup.
I think you and I talked a couple times along the way here and looked for a time that it was going to be all with the CW. But now it appears that Fox wanted three of the games. They're going to get the Civil War. They're going to get Washington State, Texas Tech. And Fox will have the Washington State, Oregon State game on November 23rd. What do you make of that split, you know, from the perspective of the Pac-2 schools?
I think, you know, for Fox to pick up, you know, it allows them to pick up an extra Big Ten game with Oregon, you know, versus Oregon State, and then another Big 12 game with Texas Tech. And, you know, those are two conferences they have involvement with throughout the season. And so they probably felt that it was a pretty good way to, you know, almost extend those deals and add some non-conference games that are of appeal to conference viewers that, you know, they deal with day in and day out.
I am told that there will still be some night home games, even on with the CW and the Fox with Oregon State and Washington State, but they will try to slot the Oregon State Washington State game that airs on the CW. It looks like the plan is to have it immediately follow the network's ACC football games. Those ACC games, the Florida State game last year on the CW drew a number. Everything else was under a million viewers. Is this a good strategy by the CW to put these things back to back? That makes sense to you?
Yes, it does. I think you know, the CW wants to play coast to coast, and you just have a conference that's primarily East Coast based. You know, those games are coming on at 9 o'clock in the morning out on the West, and so to follow up the ACC package with the Oregon State, Washington State games is, you know, fills the whole day for them pretty much, and then they're going to roll into. And one of the reasons there won't be games at night is because they'll be rolling into Xfinity, you know, cup races and things like that, which usually are at night. So that won't affect the football too much, but there'll be some of it. So it's a good, you know, fills the day for them on Saturday. I would expect that if there's night games, there won't be a ton of them. It could be the Fox game, but I don't know that for a fact. I'm just trying to think of where Fox has windows. And it, you know, that would make sense, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I am told that, you know, of the 13 games, I think there's 11 of them that will be announced with kickoff times. The last two will not. And I am being told that the reason for that is that the CW wants to wait and see which team is better, Oregon or Oregon State. And they may play around with the kickoff time and put the better team in the better time slot. And that feels more like the old days with the Pac-12 network. Can you help us with viewers? When you see a deal like this with the CW and a few games on Fox, the comparison, will there be more exposure, less exposure? Well, you know, how does that work in your mind as you think about that blend and versus maybe what Oregon State and Washington State had a year ago?
Well, I think one thing that's pretty clear is that they're all going to be, you know, over-the-air linear television networks, which is a benefit. In the past, a lot of the Pac-12 games would have either been on, you know, ESPN, ESPN2, FS1, and certainly Fox Broadcast Network as well. But a lot of them would have been on cable, especially the infamous Pac-12 Saturday night. So I think this is going to give you a lot more, you know, broad exposure. It's going to take a little bit for people to get used to games being on the CW. But, you know, the way that TV guides work these days, you know, everything's a tile. It's not a grid anymore. And you just go to the sports section of your, of whatever your app you're using, or DirecTV, or your cable, Xfinity or Cox or whatever. And the game's going to be there, and you just click on the game. You don't even really care where it is. You know, might say it, but you're going there to watch the game, not the network. So I think it should be good. I think that, you know, hats off to the folks at Oregon State and Washington State for, you know, putting together a deal like this. I don't know what the financials are, but it really doesn't matter. I think they stated, and I think you and I have talked about, exposure is paramount at this point, because in order for them to remain relevant, should another shoe drop and realignment begin anew, it's very important for them to be at top of mind. And I think this agreement and the nationwide distribution and the linear network emphasis is great for both Oregon State and Washington State, and I congratulate them both for putting this together.
Bob Thompson is with us, former president of Fox Sports Network. Bob, before I move on to the NBA and some other things I want to ask you about, just, you know, the other games, the road games for Oregon State and Washington State will be under the Mountain West Conference's deal with Fox and CBS. How are those games traditionally consumed? Or are we talking about FS1, or what are we thinking here?
Well, you get a mix. So occasionally there's been some games on the Fox Broadcast Network. Usually when it was a Boise State, San Diego State type game, Fresno State might have made it a couple of appearances. Air Force, maybe. But for the most part, you're going to see FS1 and CBS Sports Network, not CBS. And but they're pretty widely distributed if you have a cable type package or satellite type package. So they should be available there. There'll be some night games on that package as well, but they do play a fair amount of day games as well.
All right, Bob, I want to pivot to the NBA. We saw some news about the framework of the deal that the NBA is pursuing with Disney, Amazon, big numbers attached to it. What do you make of what you heard early about the next TV deal with the NBA?
Well, I think it looks like they're due for a raise. based on what I've heard, nothing proprietary, ESPN, ABC get, paying $2.5 to $2.6 billion per year, probably retaining the finals, playoffs, regular season, but fewer games. So they'll be paying almost twice as much for fewer games. Amazon, some regular season, some playoffs, maybe some of the in-season tournament, maybe a regional component for Amazon where they'd stream, say Thursday night's regional night, and they produce games locally for each of the teams. The other thing that's floating around is some international rights. Amazon currently distributes in Mexico for the NBA, and the NBA was smart and that they've synced up all their international rights as well, and they expire essentially at the same time as existing NBA deals. So they could roll the international rights in as well, and that's very that would be very important to Amazon Prime because they are, they can distribute worldwide for you. They've got 220 million people or something like that who are Amazon Prime subscribers. So they can provide a one-stop shop for distribution throughout the world. So, that number's, a little bit of a moving target right now. The third package is the, Warner Brothers Discovery / TNT package, which, they weren't able to get to a deal, and so it's out for bid, and it looks like NBC's come in, a combination probably between NBC Sports Broadcast Network and Peacock would be my guess, supposedly $2.5 billion. It's WBD Turner's to lose. They're, as the incumbent, they have the back-end rights, so there's some sort of right to match. Should they opt to, but they've got debt, they've got some debt issues and things like that, and their linear business is shrinking, but they do have the Max streaming service, and they're going to be involved with ESPN and Fox on the new streaming, Spulu, whatever you want to call it, service that's out there. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out with it. One thing that's going to be for sure is all three packages, regardless of who gets the third package, are going to have big streaming elements between, Peacock, Max, ESPN, Plus, Amazon Prime, all those, those are all streaming services. So there should be a significant number of games streamed as well as distributed on the linear networks. But I'm not sure what the type of breakup will be. $7 billion total, probably in that ballpark, which is about double, but still about a little less than half of what the NFL gets, probably 10 to 11 year deal, maybe some sort of a look 7-8 years down the road, see if the marketplace changes. It seems to be a common thing these days to throw a look in there to take into consideration any type of big changes in the marketplace. So I would expect it to get done here pretty soon.
I keep thinking, where's Charles Barkley going to end up? You know, as a consultant, let's say Charles calls you and says, hey, Bob, you know, what do I do? He has an opt-out if TNT doesn't get the rights. But you think Charles should form a production company, hire Ernie, hire Kenny, and sell the show to the highest bidder? Or what should Charles do?
I don't think Charles wants to work that hard. That would be tough. Charles likes to have, you know, do Charles stuff, and I don't think that's included, but I mean, certainly he's going to be out there talking to everybody if in fact Warner Brothers Discovery doesn't retain it. You know, he signed, like, I think it was a 10-year deal just a few years back, so he certainly has some time left, but of course, if they lose it, he has the right to walk. He's going to be absolutely in demand without a doubt. You know, ESPN's been after him for a long time. I think it'd fit in perfect with, you know, some sort of an NBC pregame show if it ends up there. He's, you know, he's a unique talent and certainly can bring viewers to a pregame show, which is extremely important. And the NBA is going to expect, if there's a new network involved, that that network have, you know, extremely high production capability or production quality, including, you know, big time names on the pre and post pregame, halftime, postgame shows. So Charles is depending on how much he wants to work, he's going to be very much in demand.
Bob Thompson with us, retired Fox Sports Networks president. College football playoff rights got done, it looked like, in March. Your reaction when you saw those numbers, 6-year agreement looked like. And big numbers, big dollars attached to it. But did they leave money on the table, or how do you see that deal?
Well, a couple of things. I think that if they hadn't, you know, little farted around for 8 to 12 months, you know, they could have done a much better deal. I think if they could have somehow, you know, gotten their act together and had the 12-team playoff a year and a half ago when, like, the Big Ten TV deal was going down, I think they could have done significantly better. But then the TV, you know, the TV guys got kind of, you know, closed their wallets up. And I think at the end of the day, what you see was they probably, I don't know that they left money on the table. I think it's a good deal for the time they did the deal, you know. Hindsight 2020, he can't, you know, go back and redo it, but there, if it had been done earlier, they might have got a higher rate. You know, going from 7 to 11 games, if you count the New Year's Six bowl games, the semis, and the champ game, which is the 7 to 11, they didn't get a huge increase, you know, maybe from 900 million, 870, I think, is what I had him in the last year, to 950, something like that, the first year. Because the $1.3 billion they talk about, that's like the middle year. So they got to work up to that number. So it wasn't a huge increase, but it's, you know, it's still pretty good. I'm not sure how frenzied the bidding was. Again, ESPN as the incumbent has, you know, it's a huge advantage to an incumbent. So we don't even know if Fox or anybody else was even able to bid. And if they were able to bid, were they able to bid on anything other than the first four games, which I don't know that anybody is going to get too excited about that unless you have a path to some, you know, games further down the road. And if that path isn't there, I could see, you know, people kind of folding up their tent and going away. Now, that's not to say that ESPN might not sublicense some games, and apparently they have that right to sublicense some games. So I don't know if it's over yet, but, you know, at this point, ESPN has the rights to all 11 games, and we'll see how it goes.
Finally, the college football tomorrow saw the proposal as this group, or College Sports Tomorrow, came out and said, hey, we want to reform college football. We want to form a group, a working group, that will fix this and create 70 permanent members. Big powerhouse teams. Tell us why it doesn't work.
Well, I think it's too big to begin with. I don't think there's 70 powerhouse teams. I think basically what you're doing, if you're at 70 or 80, you're taking what's left, you're taking the Power Four and some G5 teams, you know, and that gets you to that 80. If you look at who is on this group, there's not a lot of Power Twos involved, you know. Mm. So it could be guys and folks that are concerned about being shut out if it's a Power Two. And when I say Power Two, I think Power Two would be bigger than just the SEC and the Big Ten. I think you got to be in the 48 school type range, because if you get a whole lot bigger than that, you're going to run into some matchups that aren't as enticing to the television people. And when you don't have consistently enticing matchups, you're not going to get the premium dollars. And that would be my concern with 70 to 80 schools. You're still going to have some duds, and there will be some teams that you would not immediately look at and say, "Wow, that's a powerhouse," because they're just not. And so, smaller number, better games, better ratings, bigger dollars, and that's kind of how it works.
Do you run into a case where you have windows to fill? Is that why? And I mean, what is the right number? Let's say we're spitballing a group of teams. Forget that these TV contracts that are existing probably make this impossible at this point. But let's, you know, we're putting together a group, Bob. How many teams, you know, do you have enough to fill the windows that you need to fill?
Yes, and I think if you look at the NFL, what are they at? 32 teams, so that's, you know, more or less 13 games a week. Because most people, a lot of times, everyone, there's a group that has a bye. So you got to say you need to fill a few more windows because you're at 48. With three networks, you know, you can play 2 to 3 games on a couple of networks on Saturday, a Friday night game, maybe a Thursday night game. You can absolutely get all the windows in if you split it amongst, you know, 3 to 4 outlets and maybe a streaming service. But it's going to be full. You know, you'll have football from, you know, on the West Coast from 9 a.m. till, you know, the last game will kick at 7:30 local. So that's, you know, there's four windows in there. So you can fill, you know, 12 something games just every Saturday with three networks.
This is a public service that you are doing here. I've said that all along, Bob. I appreciate all of this wisdom, this expertise. Thank your parents for us for putting you in front of the TV as a kid. I appreciate you, man.
All right, John. I guess I'll see you out here for the final Pac-12
yeah.
event.
Let's do it. Let's see it through.
Sounds good.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
There he goes. Bob Thompson. That right there, like I was talking about in segment one, aim here. Of course, the show needs to be entertaining, but informative, sourced. We get a guy who has done media rights deal at the highest levels talking in terms that I'm barely keeping up with and trying to ask the questions that I think you want answered. Really good stuff from Bob Thompson. I appreciate him giving us some of his time. Coming up, we've got Punch It Audio. Anna's going to do the 5 at 5. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to the ACC territory. We'll visit with a reporter, Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times, who's been all over the court case involving the ACC, Florida State, Clemson. What is happening there? Judge made a ruling today. Matt Baker's got the details.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.